The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Okay, welcome to episode 25 of the Gringlish podcast. Roll the intro.
I'm Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
So this is going to be a long one. I'm going to start by revealing some secrets. I was contemplating not even saying this stuff, but I've always said that telling people your problems can only help you and help others. I've always known that my biggest enemy wasn't going to be competitors in business or anything else, really. It was always going to be myself. And I didn't know how true that would end up being. In 2021, all of the big deals that I had going in my business, e-commerce brokers, which is where I buy and where I help people buy and sell online businesses. I'm an online business broker. All of them fell through. I had a 24, 10, and 100K deals, and all of them fell through, and I was broke. I've been broke about 7 times in my life, entrepreneurially, well, financially. And coming back from that is not easy. And due to the mistakes of my previous accountant and my acquisition of the apartment I live in now, I was stressed out like crazy at the start of this year and also was out of money. I overspent on a bunch of the stuff and this apartment was really the last one. And so in January, my lease for my apartment that I was renting Galithea in Athens ended. And I was like, well, I'm probably going to buy at the end of Feb. So I just need somewhere to live for a month, which was fine. But during that month, the same thing happened, but in a different way to what happened to me in 2021 when I was broke. In 2021, I was living in Barcelona. I was staying housemates with a lady who was like 45 running a yoga studio out of her place. And let's move this up. I need to invest in a podcast mic. And eventually she kicked me out, which was annoying. And all my deals fell through, which was annoying. Then I got robbed. Then I got kicked out of the second apartment, which was annoying. Ended up on my friend's couch. And that friend works at the second or third biggest online business brokerage. I'm probably about the fifth or sixth. And they work at they're either the first or the second biggest brokerage. And they were one of my competitors at the time, just a colleague competitor. And my friend, who I only knew for about a month, was nice enough to say, hey, George, you're in a bad situation. Come sleep on my couch. Stay as long as you want. And I did. And I rose back up like I always do. Literally, it's my middle name. Is Resurrection, which is Anastasios. And through 2022, I just focused on myself, focused on my health, mental health, financial health. And in 2023, 2024, I had big years financially and otherwise. And this year, in January, I was like, this is going to be another massive year. I walked across the nation, I got a Guinness World Record, I made a bunch of money, I did a bunch of cool stuff, I started this content thing. Life looked like it was going to be pretty good. And then the same thing happened that happened in 2021. The stress of work and finances affected my health. In 2021, when I had all that stress in Barcelona, I was stressed and my body started failing. Because I've been going to the gym since I was like 15 and I've been doing things with bad form, my shoulders click like every time. Every time I do this, it clicks back in every time, right? It's painful. But yeah, I'm so used to it, it's not that painful anymore. So I had like this arthritic like feeling in both my shoulders. I had massive back pains. I had tonsillitis. which I have massive tonsils, which I get a lot. A cold, sick, just sick through and through. My immune system failed, is what I'm saying. And in February this year, the same thing happened, except it didn't affect arthritis. I did get tonsillitis. It affected my stomach. Now, there was a bunch of reasons why my stomach could have been fucked up, but it really was because of my mental health, which was just stress and anxiety, just managing stress and anxiety. And that kind of induced what I assume was IBS, which is just where you have an irritable bowel. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, your stomach's going to complain about it. And it's going to be very painful. To the degree that from about February, March, April, May, June, July, for about 6 months, I couldn't wake up and have a normal day. Like, my stomach was gone. And as much as I went to a low FODMAP diet, which is what they say, and I did everything, I mean, I'm talking one of the big things. So low FODMAP is low fructose and a bunch of other big nutrition words. But essentially, it's like no sugars, no carbs. Definitely no, steaks. You can't have medium rare. I made that mistake. That took me out for a week. And, you know, that's a week where I'm doing the bare minimum to stay afloat. Now, at the same time, I'm pretty broke because I spent all my cash. I'm asset rich at this point, but cash poor. So my stomach, like, I woke up on a daily basis and just had the worst stomach. And if you go to bad stomach, you got a bad day, you got a bad mind. And then it's just like vicious cycle. My stomach's fucked up. And I planned marathons. I planned, you know, crazy stuff like I always do. But I just couldn't do anything. And no matter how low FODMAP I ate, I can't eat tomatoes. You can't eat anything. You can't eat more than like 6 almonds. Then there's too much fructose in the thing. Like, it's an almost impossible diet to stick to. And even when I did for a month and I took the pills that my gastroenterologist suggested, no use, no recovery, because it was all in my head. The anxiety and the stress of buying this apartment, renovating it, running my business, being low on cash, it all caught up to me. And my body paid the toll. Now, I did walk across the nation in December, but for December and January, I was healthy and I was fine. It was the stress of February that really wiped me out. And I honestly, like, it's funny because I wasn't in any of a depressed state prior to, but the stomach made me depressed. Like, I just couldn't do things. I couldn't go out. People say, let's go out. Well, I can't drink alcohol. I was 6 months off alcohol because I couldn't. One beer and I was totaled, out for a week. Dates, you can't go on a date, really, because my stomach's fucked up. You're going to sit there, drink water like an idiot, and I can't choose anything from the venue. It was the menu. It was really bad, and I was at my wit's end. And I went to the gastroenterologist. He goes, you know, just, I did low FODMAP for a month, which is supposed to fix it and start bringing things back into your diet, and nothing just didn't work. Then I met my comedian friend, George, and he said, well, I've actually had IBS for 5 years. It was all because of my stress and anxiety. I'm like, nah. And I'm someone who seeks stress. I'm someone who seeks discomfort and anxiety. But I think at some point your body takes the toll that your mind can take. Your body can't take that toll. So it all caught up to me. I think all the stress of 2025 caught up to me. And anyway, my friend George, a comedian, said he's had IBS for 5 years because of his stress and anxiety. Now, I did a bunch, and he said he takes antidepressants. Now, I'm pretty very against any drugs, including antidepressants. Then I looked up a study, and there is meta-analysis on antidepressants curing IBS. 65% of the time, amitriptyline worked in their studies. At the point at which I was, my business is failing now, my life is failing now, I'll try anything. Now, a gastroenterologist isn't going to recommend it because it's not approved by the FDA. But I went to my therapist, I'm like, what do you think? She's like, try it. Seriously, if your stress is catching up to you, try it. I tried it for 3 weeks. Fixed. And when I tell you, you just can't believe the magic pill works, right? And it's a low, very low dose amitriptyline, not even prescription. And I was very cautious, because I've heard, horror stories of, benzodiazepines and this and that and all this stuff. So I was very cautious. But when I tell you, within 3 weeks, all my problems were gone and I was back to normal, a problem that I thought I would never fix in for years, I'm 100%. If I hadn't met George, I don't know what I would have done. Now, at the same time, I'm also, in about 10 days less, I'm going to close a deal, one of my biggest deals for my business, and make a bunch of money. Which was the whole problem in the first place. I got stressed about money, and then I got sick. So it's weird. What can I tell you? It's bloody weird that, we go through this shit, and then random things, random talks with people. Because I told my, I cancelled like half of my comedy shows in the last 6 months. I've cancelled. Because I couldn't. I'm going to be funny when I'm in pain. I can't do anything. Can't do anything. What can I say? It's been a shit 6 months. I've tried my best to live life, but honestly, impossible. I'm not recommending anyone to take antidepressants for IBS. I mean, I don't know. I leave that to the FDA. Leave that to the gastroenterologist. But for me, when I tell you it worked, like black to white, 100%, like 0 to 100 worked, 100% it worked. 100% it worked. I'm so much more energy. I have 0% pain in my stomach. I can eat everything. I've tested the sugar. I've been drinking like crazy at the Baniyidia, at the parties here in Greece. Oh, I can't. It blows my mind. My friends who I've been absolutely annoying the hell out of because I can't eat out. I can't eat anything, basically. I'm eating oats, eggs, and meat. That's it. Well done meat, too. With no seasoning, nothing. I had this joke that I've been eating like Europeans before they found America and India and Africa. I didn't plain shit all this time. But it worked 110%. That's my anecdotal, evidence. But it's worked 100%. And my plan is to take it for 3 months. The money coming in is going to help, no doubt. It hasn't come in yet and it's already worked. So, I'm not going to discount it because of that. It has worked well outside of my own stresses. Give myself time to relax. Give myself time to get stable and take care of myself. And then slowly wean myself off it. But holy shit, did it rock my world. I always say I'm preparing and training for the day that problems come my way. And I know that they're going to be very weird, different, and unique in every new problems. Future problems are always going to be uniquely different. And you have to prepare for the unknown. I did not expect to have IBS based off anxiety and stress. But just like everything, everyone's got an identity. We're having an identity crisis. I talk about identity a lot here on this podcast. I've always made my identity pretty clear. There's some things, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm Greek, I'm a comedian, I'm a content creator, whatever you want to call it, right? I love history. We pull upon these things. But above all else, for me, it's in my name. I am Greek. My name is George. It's a Greek name. It means farmer. And for me, I love going to my farm in Kithira, my family farm, and working with my hands. Yorgos comes from the name Zeus. Yorgos, the first Olympian god that the Athenians adopted, which eventually just became Zeus, but that's where the name Yorgos comes from. Saint George, the Roman soldier, and Marta, my middle name, Anastasios, which means resurrection. And that I identify more than anything, which is coming back. It's the comeback. It's, perseverance. It's coming back from nothing. I've done that so many times. I think this time I'm going to try not. Self-destruct, let's say. And it's funny because the symbol and the symbol, the animal, the mythological animal of the phoenix is very popular in Greece, actually, in the Greek state. The Greek Epanastasy, the independence war of Greece, the phoenix was a motif that was commonly used. And there's actually an award in Greece, a civilian award called the Order of the Phoenix, which sounds like Harry Potter. I don't know. For me, coming back from zero is... every single person I meet that has any interest in me, they say, you've done a lot for your age. I'm turning 27 in about 33 days, right? And I think the reason that is, that I have done a lot for my age, is because I have put myself, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes other people put me in that situation, but I take full responsibility. I put myself in very, very stressful situations, and only because of sometimes blind luck, like meeting my comedian friend and telling him my problems and him telling me his solutions and him having a solution. Finding my way out. Working my way out. I mean, look, the real issue here is that my job, my entrepreneurship, my business stresses me out like crazy. And fixing that is part of the solution. And so a deal closing, like the biggest deal I'm closing now, that's a stress, sheer fortitude, because I did not feel like working a day of the last 6 months, and I still did it. I still pushed through. So for me, that's what I identify with most, resurrection. Anastasi. So that's my two cents. I don't know. If you're struggling with the same problems, honestly, talk to a therapist, talk to a psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever you want. Try it out if they prescribe it. But holy shit, did it work for me. Be careful with it. Of course, talk to your doctors. But I can't even tell you the difference it's made. It's like day and night. It's like hell to heaven. But within weeks, I went from, and during this period of 6 months, I cut all bad foods. I cut smoking, I cut drinking, I cut bad foods, everything. I lost 5 kilos from 98, but I'm usually 80. And now I'm hovering at like 85, 86. And as soon as I had the freedom, of course, what did I do? I went and smoked a bunch of cigarettes. I went and drank a bunch and ate whatever the fuck I want, except lactose, because that will really fuck me up. But, you know, just today it hit me. That ain't me, you know. I am someone that wants to make progress, wants to move forward, who does put anxiety and stress on myself to progress and do stuff. So for me, I'm just like, I'm not smoking. I'm not drinking excessively. I'm not eating garbage. I want to be, 75, 76 kilos, do competitions, do crazy stuff. Create content, create stories, and you need that creative space and clear mind, which comes from a healthy body, to do that. So, I don't know. This is just another phoenix story for me, rising from the ashes. I come back. That's my spiel on my fucking journey this year. Holy shit. Life just keeps getting harder. It's been a shit show. But I do come back all of the time, and I have done it on myself, by myself. Let's dive into something a bit funnier. Let's progress the podcast. So, what is this? Let's take a look at this. Oh yeah, this lady, Engineer Carla. Yeah, I love this lady. I've been watching this lady. She's just an American lady who's an engineer, just normal lady, who one day said, you know what? I want to dig a fucking hole in me basement and I'm going to build out a tunnel. And you know what? I can very heavily relate to that. She just loved Minecraft. I love Minecraft too. And she said, fuck it, I'm an engineer. She lives in Ohio. She said, fuck it, I want to dig holes for a living.
I just want to fucking dig holes for a living, that's it. Why, is that so hard?
I just want to fuck it. Like, I just want to fucking dig a hole in my basement. And she's got a bit of a creepy stare, but you know what? She's actually a very nice lady. I think we'd get along. She has the same level of, same type of autism that I have. The type of autism that is like, hey, you know what? Something, I need to change something about my life. I don't know what it is, but I need to change something. So maybe I'm going to walk 1,200 kilometers across the country for no fucking reason whatsoever. No one told me to. Just the way no one told engineer Carla to just start digging holes for a living. Digging holes in her basement. Just tunneling. She learned all of it herself. She's obviously an engineer, but she learned. She's been making her mistakes. She's just been doing it all on her own. And it's fucking great. She's welding. She's digging. She did it all on her own. She got all the certificates from the council, which I assume was a bloodbath. But she's awesome. And I like that. I like people who one day just say, you know what? Fuck this. I just want to dig holes.
I just want to fucking dig holes for a living. That's it. Why is that so hard?
I fucking love it. I don't know. That's why I pay for the internet. I pay for the internet so that I can see stuff like this. I love it. I don't know. I'm addicted to it, actually. I see her. I wait for her new posts. Let's go to the next item. Spinalonga. Spinalonga. Okay, so this is a... I've heard of Spinalonga. Spinalonga, let me pull it up on maps for you. Spinalonga is in Crete somewhere. And I have not been, so I'm very curious. I'm curious, George. Screen recording, let's check it out. So Spinalonga is in Crete. Let me see if I can guess where it is. Is this Spinalongis? Paximithi. Paximathi. Where is Spinalongus? Is that Spinalongus? Where is Spinalongus? Spinalongo. Alright, I'm gonna type it in now. I thought I could geo-guess this shit. Fuck. Okay. So a friend of mine told me about Spinalongo. Spinalonga. Sounds pretty Italian, no? Well, it's because it's a 16th century Venetian fortress and ruins of a former leper colony. What? You heard me. What? A leper colony. All right, let's do a proper Google here. Wikipedia. Spinalonga is an island in the Gulf of Elunda in Crete. The island was maintained as a fortress for centuries under Venetian rule. It later became a refuge for Muslim families fearing persecution, and finally a leper colony in the 20th century. It has been inhabited since it has been uninhabited since 1962, though it has undergone some restoration work in years since. Today is the second most visited tourist site in Crete, and sixth in Greece overall. What? Acropolis, Olympia, Delphi. Mykonos, Santorini, Spinalonga? What? Let me check out the fortifications, huh? I love a castle, Malaka. Very nice castle. I would love to buy like just a castle like this and just bring all the boys and build out a fucking little ecosystem. Off the grid. Provveditore, Generale Jacob Froscarini. Suggested fortifications for Spinalonga. Okay, but because the position fortified the ancient period, entrance of the port of Aulus. These defences fell into ruin over the following centuries. Christians hid among the ruins in the 820s to escape Saracen invaders. Venetians occupied Crete from 1210 and built a number of fortresses on the island. Spinalonga was among the last of these. Okay. And of course, during the fall of Constantinople, they were had to fortify because the Turks had taken everything. They, in 1578, they hired Jenny Sebrasani. Foundations in 79, built over the ruins of an acropolis. Don't just go over the top, go crazy. Wow. They knew that in 84, they realized that it wasn't strong enough. They fortified it. It was one of the most important seaforts in the Mediterranean basin with 35 cannons. Okay. Venetian hand remained in Venetian hands until the fall of Crete to the Ottomans. Owned by agreement. Okay, leper colony. The Cretan state, which was separate to the Greek state, in 1903 declared that mandatory isolation of leprosy patients would take place in Spinalonga. In this regard, the Cretan government was fully influenced by the work of Edvard Echlers, a Danish dermatologist and advocate for seclusion theory. This led to forced displacement of many remaining Muslims. The first 250 lepers arrived in 1904 and thereafter continued to arrive occasionally, sometimes while restrained. Jesus Christ. Lepers generally arrived at the southern dock. Some sources refer to this entrance as Dante's Gate. Damn. The island was only accepted Cretan lepers from until 1903, when Crete was returned to Greece. Spinalonga accepted lepers from the rest of Greece too until the Axis occupation. Some staff were present there, including three street sweepers with disinfectant duties, a priest and a caretaker. Okay. Cool. Brotherhood of the Sick, wow. New treatments for leprosy, obviously, ended that. The island was left empty for decades after the departure of Katsulianakis and suffered from looting during the Greek junta. Surprise, surprise. Access to it was banned on the grounds of fictional infection risk. The fairy tale restriction was designed to prevent looters. Well, I'd love to go. Who wants to go with me to spend longer? Can you buy a house, is there? Damn, I want to go now. Let me see some photos. I mean, it's really well fortified. Look at this thing. It's got Monavasia vibes. I mean, it's a bit creepy that it's a leper colony. It was a leper colony. But how cool would that be as just a paintball range? Imagine playing paintball in Spinalonga. But, like, to make a new city there. Like, in the old fashion, in the old houses, just to be like, okay, you know, sell the plots of land for, you know, something reasonable and be a thriving city again. I don't know. That's my Minecraft brain going. Cool. Spinalonga. I think we might leave it there. It's already a half-hour podcast. I'll see you in the next one.